Welcome to the fucking show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back, baby, to another episode of Only Bruins. I am one half of your host, Downtown Boosie, and this episode is brought to you by the one and only Primetime Productions. A lot of good shit going on over there. We'll get into it maybe later on in the episode if we have time, but we are tight on time today. But this episode is also brought to you by the one and only Pure Hockey, baby. I need a new helmet. I know I've talked about it in previous episodes. I'm going on Pure Hockey tonight after a few Heineken Silvas, and I'm gonna drop some cashola on a new helmet because I got mold and shit in my helmet. And
it's probably from leaving your fucking gear outside all the time.
Oh yeah, I leave my fucking jock strap in my helmet accidentally all the time. And it always rains. And then I got PP stains in my fucking jock strap. And I get my laundry done every week. And I used to send my hockey stuff in with it. And they asked me to stop sending it in my jock strap because there are PP stains. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I can understand that.
You and Crosby, dude.
I know, dude. I fucking, that jock strap could talk. Holy shit. But no, go to Pure Hockey. Get a new helmet like me. Get whatever you want. You'll find the link in the show description. Support Pure Hockey. Support the boys. But, oh man, it's only been a few days since we last talked. The Bruins got a shellacking done the other night to them. And we're missing Bobby. But we got another great Bobby's Corner for you. But before we dive into this episode, you know what I have to do. I got to shoot it over to my brother from another mother. Brett, don't call him Howie Howard. How we living, buddy?
Pretty good, man. Well, other than the Bruins game the other night, but we'll get into that. No, things are in the up and up. We're getting a lot of stuff done at PTP, like you said. So it's really exciting stuff happening over at PTP there. And other than that, I'm excited to see the new guys tonight, which we'll also get into. So there's not much to talk about. I see your ugly mug every fucking day, but we actually have a special announcement later in the episode for me, you, and Bobby, which involves PTP as well. So I'm excited for that.
I honestly have no idea what you're talking about.
We talked about it this morning with Bobby.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
This guy's the pickled morning, after pickleball. Like,
a little pickleball today. I'm indulging in some Heineken Silvers, some Heine Silvers, because it's fucking beautiful out. It's 60 in Boston. It's sunny. Life is good. I got bent over by the mechanic, but I don't care. He used lube, so everything's good.
Life I'm gonna come down there and beat your fucking ass.
All-time fucking clip. That's why it's pinned on my I'm so glad my stupid head was able to think of that creative mind when Swayman hug thing. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out on my personal Twitter at DowntownBoosie2. It's the pinned tweet. I think it's pretty fucking funny. But yeah, great day. That couldn't even bring me down, baby. And just life is good, man. Life is good. It's been a good week with me saying that. Now Friday will probably be absolute dog shit, and the Bruins will get their fucking doors knocked in tonight, their teeth knocked in tonight. I don't know why I said doors, but same thing. I guess either works. But yeah, Bruins play Montreal tonight. We'll see peak. You know, Beach is called back up. Life is good down there. And as far as the Bruins game, dude, Coyle, the other night,
Coyle's got to stop kissing everybody in the locker room.
Yeah,
man.
No shit, huh? Fuck, if you could kiss me though, I wouldn't. I'd get sick for that.
I hope the gum would end up in my mouth after. That's all I'm saying, baby.
Yeah, spit in my mouth. Hey, yo. But
sounds just like my ex.
Monday night suck. That rattled me. But Monday night stunk. We really like, there's not much to say about it. Just the boys did not have it. A few takeaways from that game really is, first of all, Swayman didn't have it. My biggest thing too is it kind of felt like pretty early on. I mean, granted, like I said,
do you think he was rattled that Bennington wasn't in the net across?
No,
because he was supposed to be. It was a late minute switch. Yeah, last minute switch.
He wasn't part of the team then, so I don't think it ties into that at all. But I think maybe he thought if Bennington was in it, there's a chance at a goalie fight, which, holy shit, there's not enough friggin' lotion in the world that would have saved my meat from that if that happened. But it's I think it felt like Monty waved the white flag pretty early because it maybe he just saw what we were obviously seeing and that the Bruins just did not fucking have it one bit, not one player on the ice.
Brazzers was your best guy.
Yep, and that bullshit. We'll get into that shortly.
Yeah,
but didn't Grizzlick had a great game. Now he's sick, of course. Grizzlick had a great game.
I know what you're talking about. It's top four is Carlo Grizzlick, Jake DeBrusk, and Frederick.
I forget, but I do remember talking highly on Grizz and JD because those are guys who have had consistent good games, and I was hoping I would love for them to just continue to build off that, but it's obviously no Grizz Thursday night, last night, whatever. JD's, he's been lighting it up. I think he's got 6 points in his last 7 games or 8 points in his last 7 games. Something.
6 points in his last 5.
All right. So 6 points in his last 5. You love to see that, especially a guy who needs that kind of, perform those kind of performances to really he's a guy who really needs glass half full kind of mental.
Trade deadline's over. Trade deadline bumps happening
right now. I'm fucking drawing a blank on the word I actually want to use, but probably come back to me at the very end of the episode or as soon as we end. But I've been happy to see that, especially a guy like Grizz who's continued to struggle. It's been nice to see him string along a few good games. And one thing I do wish, I wish they pulled Swayman a little bit earlier. And I mean, after the third goal, that should, or at least call a timeout. That was my biggest
Monty
thing.
Never uses his timeouts.
He did use them a few times last year, though, and they worked out great, though. But this year, this year's been a different story. So I don't know. That was a little frustrating because you're on home ice. It's against the St. Louis Blues. I don't know if we want to be conspiracy theorists.
Oh, wow, Chari was tripped.
That just gave me a fucking headache saying that. Yeah, Chari was tripped. But too soon, man. Too soon. I'm at Fenway this past summer, though. But maybe because Monty used to work for the Blues, maybe there's a little inside job. I'm not going to go that far. We love our boy Monty.
St. Laurent's a fucking idiot.
Oh my God. He definitely gambles on games.
1,000 games.
Yeah.
He gambles on games. Oh God, dude. And
clip it.
Send it out there. I know what you said, we'll get into it later, but everything you just said, and then Brazzers gets that goal called back when the rule clearly states that that's a good goal. We've both played high level hockey. I love how their excuse was it's a battle play. Brazzo didn't even have a stick near the puck.
No,
whatever.
Krug clearly pulled it back in on his back into his own zone on his backhand, and
negates the offside. It always does. It always has.
And worst part about it is, of course, the mic didn't happen to work at the time, or he didn't turn it. How convenient. But you put a tweet out. I quote tweeted you basically saying, make these refs go to the podium, baby. Mm-hmm. Make them go. answer.
It's insane, especially after the torts thing. I don't know. We didn't really talk about it, but like, bro, his team's in the midst of the playoff race and you take him off the bench for two games because a ref felt threatened because he said, fuck you. Are you kidding me, dude? Like, this is the national.
And Torch should be kicked out of every fucking game because he says that to probably every ref,
Monty,
every other whistle.
Like two games ago, Monty, there's a video of Monty, the one I said Boosie when there's no Heineken Silvers at the greatest bar.
Yeah.
He was slaying into the ref. Nothing, not even a bench minor. It's because it was torts.
Yeah, and
I don't know, he's the most suspensions all time of a coach. It's like 13 or something like that.
Yeah, I believe that.
Did you see that they were honoring the Tampa Bay Lightning that game because that was the team he won the cup with?
Yeah.
And they were all in the press box. Like, fuck.
I know. They were fucking laughing their asses off all time. But yeah, there's the game's gone faster, right? But the reffing just maybe they're struggling to keep up, but. I mean, you even saw like a clip of Bedard asking like, or I don't know if you saw it, but there's a clip of Bedard asking one of the refs to get out of the way, like, or try to avoid being in the play as much as he is, like on the boards and stuff. And the ref basically responded to saying, I'm trying, I'm not as fast as you guys, or I'm slow, whatever he said. And I'm like, well, that's definitely true. I mean, that's going to happen because you're not going to get 21-year-old refs this with speed like McDavid, because otherwise they'd be playing in the fucking NHL. Oh,
did you see McDavid last night?
I was just gonna say
I was that. Watching it live. He literally, oh yeah, you liked my tweet. He literally was just like infinity and beyond, and just turned the fucking jets on. Like the way he can like just like maneuver. I know no one saw what I just did, but he can just like maneuver right and left through the Like I said to you, and a lot of people know this to listen to the podcast, dude, I'll just the Edmonton Oilers, for whatever reason, always play after the Bruins because we normally get the Canadian teams, right, or the Hockey Night in Canada games in the playoffs. I always drop shrooms. I always drop shrooms, dude, and I just sit there and I watch McDavid play. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things to do, you know. I'll watch it. I'll bring my laptop outside, sit under the stars, and just watch ISO cam this guy, just watching him play hockey. It's fascinating to me. Dude, even McKinnon, he's fun to watch lately.
Oh my God, man. The speed he has and the way he can just fucking stop, like he just like hit a his brick
shot
wall.
Too. They have that new thing. Dude, I wish they taught us this when we were younger. That new shot where like it doesn't look like you're gonna shoot and you just like rip it like. You don't even like lift your stick off the ice and they rip it like 100 miles an hour. Like, fuck me.
And like, that's the crazy thing too, is like, you could be the size of like someone like Casey Mittelstadt who can't even do a fucking pull up and have like a 90 mile an hour snapshot with ease.
Yeah.
Like it's
the whip on these sticks too, dude. They all use 70 flex. My brother bought one of those blacked out sticks that you get, stocked up ones. He got 70 flex, and I was like messing around with it when we played beer leagues. I was like, I can't even use this. I'm just so used to laying into my stick all my life.
What flex do you use?
I use 87.
Oh my God. I use 70. Well, so it's funny. I've transitioned.
Yeah, but you break sticks all the time. I'm fucking,
I know. But I legit don't take slap shots. But I won't take slap shots. So a year ago, I was probably using, or maybe a year and a half ago, I was using 65. But then I'm like, this is way. Yeah. I'm like, this is way too whippy. I know. And then I switched to 70.
Austin Matthews? Jesus Christ. Now I use
75. Dude.
I think Bedard uses 65 too.
Yeah, I did see a clip of that. I think he's like 67 with whatever. Yeah,
and they cut it a certain. They're so fucked with their sticks now. It's crazy. Yeah,
I know. I just want to be 70, 75 because I don't know. Like, you don't have to put any effort into your shot and it just fucking, whips off. Like,
I'm also 100 pounds soaking wet. So,
yeah.
I need a little bit more torque behind my shots.
Well, dude, I was watching a video. Jason Robertson uses 110 or 100. It's at least 100, but I think he said 110. I'm like, dude, like he's a tall boy.
No, it's a 100 and he cuts it. So it's 110. Okay.
Yeah. So like for someone his size, I don't know, for that skinny, I guess. Like, you don't you just don't see that anymore.
The funniest thing, he's a tall guy too, though. The funniest thing though is people have no idea what we're talking about right now. Like, the hockey nerds are like, oh, give me this conversation. And everyone else is just like, Ken.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
I'll just explain it for the people that don't know what we're talking about. 70 flex essentially has a whip on it, like a, I don't even know, like a fishing rod, I guess. And like 100 flex would be more stiff, like, you know, like a broomstick, I guess. Like Chara used to use 130 flex, dude.
No, dude, he actually used to use 155.
Yeah, there you go. That's a board. That's a,
I only know this because literally last week I was watching a video on YouTube and they had Quinn and Jack Hughes, Robertson.
Was it that Bauer video?
I think it was a Bauer video. Bauer video.
I think those new sticks. I saw that.
So they brought up Chara. Yeah. Yes, and then, like, dude, they gave one of the, I think it was Jack Hughes who used like 75. They gave him like a 95.
It was Zegras, and he couldn't even shoot with it. Yeah. Is that the video you're talking about? He's like, I can't even use this
thing. I don't remember if Zegras was it. It was a bunch of young, or Cole, I forget. It was a bunch of young kids, though.
There's a couple videos. They do that like once a year. I've seen the Zegras one where he uses Draisaitl stick, and he's like, what the fuck is this?
It's friggin', I fucking bananas. Like, it is like crazy how it used to just go from like a straight blade to wood with a wooden stick, and then
curve. Everyone used sack and curve
to the first synergy, and then it just like skyrocketed. And now it's like, and then even the technology with sticks now too. Like, I use like the Trigger 8 Pro, which I bought at Pure Hockey. Go check it out in the link in the show description. So the Trigger 8 Pro is a lower kick point, so it's made for like. It helps if you're a wrist shot or snapshot king or queen, then it helps you out there.
That's why I like the Nexus 9000. The one Pasta has his own stick now, but the one he used to use when he first came on to Bauer, dude, that thing's so, I have like I said, 87 flex, and that thing's whippy as fuck. And the curve on it is like, dude, it took me like 2.5 months to figure out how to shoot with it. I don't know how he fucking uses it. That's how he does that shootout shot, and he just whips it because he just cups it in the fucking toe of the stick and he just throws it at the net like a fucking field hockey ball.
We do have to talk some bros because we're limited on time, but it was a frustrating week, I guess, as far as week for us Monday night. That was definitely a frustrating game, but you know, it's shit. Like Monty said, we got 91 points. Games like that are going to happen. We're fine. And it's true. You just, some nights you don't have it. You just have to hope in the playoffs that you got it every night. And
that's a winnable game if Swayman is up for it.
If he makes one or two extra saves, even if that Brazo goal counted, like when they overturned that,
it changes everything.
It sucked the wind out of the team.
They didn't get their life until a whole nother period later.
I know. And then it was just too late at that point. And then Monty pulls the goalie with 9 minutes left.
Thanks for fucking my under, dude. Jesus Christ. I was like, oh, Bruins are going to lose, but I don't see them score. Or I don't see St. Louis score another goal. So at least I'll hit my under. And then I look up, 9 minutes left. Monty pulls the fucking goalie. I was like, Jesus Christ, dude. If it works, I don't give a shit. But on the flip side, fuck.
I know. Yeah. It's, you know what, you just move on, man. You erase the tape and you move on, and like you just delete the footage and forget about it, and then you go to picture day, and then you make a nice little TikTok with
87 memes that come from it.
Yeah, I know.
Holy shit.
I think it was Elaine. I forget her last name, who does like the whole TikTok account thing, but that TikTok she made was absolutely hilarious.
Hilarious. Hi.
Yeah. So funny.
Maroon just, I love that Maroon just fucking was like, okay, yeah, I'm in. You know, like it shows he's already bought in a weird way. It shows he's already buying into what we're doing here, which is nice. And the fact that he was able to put gear on and get in pitcher day makes me feel better about how far along he is personally.
Well, so that's another thing that we need to talk about, actually, because
you can't just back injury. You can't just put skates and gear on like that. Come on.
Well, dude, when he was with, I don't know if you saw Ty Anderson's tweet the other day. He ended up deleting it because I guess people were in his replies like freaking out, and he's like, he had to like explain it. So he was practicing with the Minnesota Wild. Like he was like, he just started skating again, I think. And he was like kind of practicing, and the Bruins obviously acquired him, and they said, no, you're not going to practice. You're just going to stay off the ice, rehab, and continue to do that. And when he explained that, people were like freaking out, like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, what is going on? Like, relax. Don't jump down his fucking throat. Ty Anderson's just reporting what he's reporting.
It's two different doctors and medical staffs giving, you know, like you go and get different second opinions at other doctors because everybody has a different opinion. So the fact that he came over to the Bruins and the Bruins were like, we're just going to let keep you out right now for precautionary reasons. And we're going to let you keep rehabbing that. I know the Fairweather fans would freak out, but I think the average fan would be like, okay, makes sense. You know, well, most people that listen to our podcast would be like, okay, yeah, I get it. Why rush him?
No, exactly, because that's a guy they need for the playoffs.
Let Beecher have a couple games. Fuck it. Yeah. You know what does fucking annoy me, though? That Lysell's one of the better players in his draft class in the AHL right now, and he didn't get called up for this. And I love Beecher, and I'm glad he – but come on, man.
Beecher deserves a call-up because I've liked his attitude all season, and he's just
– and he works his down job,
man. The thing is, I think Lysell's just got an attitude – like he needs an attitude adjustment. He dogs some plays and stuff, and like that's been the report on him.
But a lot of reports lately have said he's been playing a better defensive game, especially.
But even this, sorry to cut you off because I know I'm totally gonna forget this.
Jackass.
Sorry, I pulled a U. Oh. But like maybe you reward the kid with a game or two, and then his attitude totally changes. And then he goes back down to Providence. He plays like a fucking dog. And then maybe he's a black ace. Maybe he gets in a few games. Maybe he just stays in the fucking lineup for the playoffs. Like, I don't know. Like, that's an absolute.
Look at Dallas and Stankoven. Okay. They pulled him up on an emergency basis. And wait. They pulled him up on an emergency basis and he scores. Yeah. A lot of players get a first game pop. We've seen it happen a lot in the fucking course of the NHL over time, right? Why not? Like, this is my thing. If a center goes down like Coyle did, Beecher. But the fact that we have wingers out right now and Boqvist has actually been eating, we've been both eating our fucking words on him lately. He's been great. Maybe not the best faceoff guy, but now you have Beecher on the wing, who's a better faceoff guy, and Boqvist playing center. Like, then why didn't you call up Lysell? Because I like Lauko, Boqvist, and Brazo right now. It's buzzing.
Dude, that line's been phenomenal.
And imagine fucking geeky Frederick and Lysell. Come on, dude.
Oh, my God. Well, that's what I was going to say, though. It's like you don't bring Lysell up just to, like, kind of what you did with Merkulov, give him fucking fourth line minutes and not really utilize him the right way.
Yeah, I don't see him being a Bruin ever. I'm sticking to that. I don't see Merkulov ever playing Bruins hockey. Sorry, he doesn't play the system like we like. It works in the AHL, but I think he's an NHL player on a different system.
You see that often with players too. Like they just need
Zacha. I know he didn't really bounce around the AHL to NHL, but like you bring him over here and you put him with skilled players and all of a sudden he's not a third liner.
Yeah, no, I know. And then you put him in his actual position. And
he's hot as fuck, too.
Yeah, he's easy on the eyes. For sure. Bobby got to meet him. Did he say that in the last pod?
Mm-hmm.
Who fucking didn't fucking OB Bobby meet? What's that?
Who the fuck didn't Bobby meet? Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
I know. I know. He comes to Boston one time, meets the whole fucking team, basically. Buys a Patra jersey, walks out of the pro.
I think Marshy was the only guy he didn't fucking meet, dude.
Yeah, but I got to see Marshy the next day, that Sunday. So at least the OB boys are buzzing in that department, right? We're just seeing everyone left to right.
But dude, it's hilarious how Michael Ryder in those pictures you guys got with him just looks like a regular dude.
Yeah,
like he looks like a dude that that follows us on Twitter that you were like, let's crush beers, dude. You know, like let's get in the
balcony section. So I think people were like, nah, that's not Ryder, or like they just thought he was some regular dude.
He's a handsome fella too.
Yeah. He's just, dude, you know, he's loving life right now, man. Enjoying retirement.
Beautician.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So I don't know. I'm hoping that Lysel gets a call up before the season's over.
I think he might at the end of the year. I was looking at our schedule. Give me a sec. In April.
Yeah.
We play Carolina at home, like the last four games. We play Carolina at home, 3 days off, Pitt on the road, a day off, Washington on the road, and then the next day, Ottawa at home. There's no way your playoff roster is playing that fucking schedule. There's no fucking way.
Yeah, you got to learn from last year's mistake.
There's no way a back-to-back with travel, your last two games from Washington to home. Like, not that crazy, but, like, come on. There's no way you're keeping the full lineup in there.
No, yeah. You'll definitely utilize a few emergency call-ups, let it rip with the fellas, and don't risk an injury. Holy shit, Boosie. Don't risk injury. Learn from your mistakes from last year. And, I don't know. We'll see. I hope he does, because I'd love to see him get some action. I mean, the concern, we don't have to get into it because I'm sure we'll talk about it a lot this offseason, is like he better make the opening night roster next year. But I'm sure we'll talk about it a lot this this offseason, when the offseason starts in like late June, early July for us, because the Bruins are going to win the cup, knock on wood, clip that asshole. And yeah, so as far as the other guys, though, Peak makes his debut tonight, last night, whatever. I lost Brett. I'm going to keep talking as if Brett's here. He's frozen. Okay, I lost Brett. Man down, buds. Boosie going at it. We got Peak, tonight. I hope Brett comes back soon, because I'm panicking. There he is.
We're back. Sorry.
Dude, so I was wondering what was going on with you, because you were frozen.
Yeah, like, so I tried to double up here and start the primetime parlay graphic that I still need to do, and it almost fucked my computer, so I'll wait.
Yeah, buddy, I appreciate if you put more attention to the OB. No, but so we got Peak tonight. We got our boy Peak, Peaky, Paka, Pekka, whatever the hell you want to call him.
Paka.
It looks like it's going to be
those
Wotherspoon.
Do you see those block shots he had against fucking Ovechkin? The one he took right up the cornhole. I was like,
dude. Oh, yeah. Just like my ex. but yeah, dude, he likes to block shots. And I mean, a right-handed shot. I'm excited to see him and Wotherspoon together tonight, because Lorai's been struggling. Shattenkirk's been struggling. Give those guys the night off. Or actually, Lorai's playing still because Grizzlick's out. But change it up. Get Wotherspoon in there. He deserves it. Get him back on the ice. He basically got that extension. Played a game, and then I think he got health bombed two games in a row or something like that, right?
Yeah. But Grizzlick was playing good. He deserved to
He was. He's just sick. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
He's down with the sickness right
now. Let's be serious. Let's be serious though. Like, Wotherspoon's got Grizzlick's spot going forward into next year. I really don't see them extending Grizzlick unless it's like team friendly. I'm okay with Grizzlick playing this year out, with Wotherspoon waiting to get in the lineup, because you know he's gonna be biting at the bit or chomping at the bit. Jesus Christ, that was my flash in the pan right there.
Flash in the pan. Fuck, we need shirts for that.
I know.
What was I going to say? Oh, but you basically have your decor going into like next season, right? Like, yeah, you do actually. You assuming do. That you hold on to Peak and Lorai's here to stay. Yeah,
you need a seventh defenseman.
Yeah, you need a seventh defenseman, maybe. Or maybe you stay in house, but Renfro.
Renfro? He's good, yeah.
Renfro? Yeah, there we go, Boosie. There you go. You're getting closer, you fucking dumb shit. But maybe he's the seventh guy. Seems like he's been playing pretty good in Providence. I'm obviously not going to act like I pay too close attention to Providence, but it seems like he's been buzzing down there. So maybe you stay in-house, but who knows what the market looks like.
Dude, I can't wait for Jack. Do you see Jack? I didn't love it. I think you retweeted it. Jackson Edward. He got hit from behind. The refs didn't do anything. He walked over to the kid and just tossed his gloves and shit pumped him like four uppercuts. Two games, sussy. I think he's had like eight games worth of sussies this year. This kid's gonna be a dog, dude.
Dude, he's a hothead, eh?
Oh yeah. I think McQuaid's gonna that see, you know how everyone was like Ryan Mast, you know, McQuaid's project piece. Nah, the real project piece for McQuaid to work with is Jackson Edward. I really do think in 2 to 3 years, he's in the Bruins lineup consistently. I watch him all the time.
Why?
He's the kid in London, Jackson Edward.
Why do you watch him all the time?
Because he's plays for the London Knights. Drink!
I know Bees will be loving that. I think I forgot to shout out Bees Memes last episode. I don't totally remember because it was late at night for me, but we got to meet Bees Memes that night. Fucking beauty, dude.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
He's a handsome fucking bastard.
Oh, yeah. He was rocking the stash, too.
Oh, and he had that pasta jersey on. After me and him bitched about those jerseys for like 2 weeks straight.
You know what's funny? They're clean. They're like
the white one is sick. The white one's sick. I don't like the red. Blue. I don't mind the blue one.
I saw someone in an Allmark All-Star jersey from the previous year. That one was sick, dude. I wanted to fucking rip it right off and have my way with him. But yeah. No, Bees Memes, great guy, hell of a guy. We also met I'm probably like in case I forgot people, we met Mia.
Yeah, she was awesome. Dude, she's fucking got anytime goal scorer of Pete tonight.
You know what I love about Mia is that we just both have an obsession with Wotherspoon too. Like we got the same taste in men.
Dude, she gave me the business when she found out I didn't think Wotherspoon was hot at first. She was like, "Are you fucking stupid?" She was like, "What is wrong with you?" But hey, I ride Wotherspoon anytime goal scorer is my guilty
pleasure. I ride it every fucking day. Sorry, that was a layup.
I'd bend my back for that boy.
Yeah, I'd ride him like I stole him. Stole him. ride it like I stole it. There you go, Boosie. I forget what we were even talking about, but decor is set for next season. You like to think maybe get a seventh guy so you can focus in on the forwards. We're obviously not going to get into that because we have a lot to talk about this offseason. It's going to be a very interesting offseason for the fellas. But yeah, man, I feel good about this team right now. I like that they're getting their shellackings during the regular season rather than the fucking playoffs, of course. I don't overreact again, like those games against the Islanders, those games against the St. Louis Blues. Like,
no.
There's a lot of people overreacting.
It's an 82 game season.
Frustrating. Oh shit, you know what we have to do actually?
What?
Before we actually talk about that kind of stuff, we got to shoot over to Bobby's Corner.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, because I got like...
being on a tight leash, and we're not going to end with this, so we'll come back.
Yeah.
Because I got to take a pee-pee break.
Yeah, and I'm going to go grab a beer quick. Balls. While you do that, I'm going to try and get this shit going, too.
Ladies All and right. gentlemen, enjoy the tripod himself, Bobby Brewski's Corner, baby.
From the beaches of Winnipeg. And under the palm trees of the West End, it's Bobby Brewski. What is going on, folks? And welcome to another edition of Bobby's Corner, proudly brought to you by Primetime Productions and Only Bruins, baby. Gonna give a major rager shout out to our sponsor at Pure Hockey. Check them out, baby. I'm still glowing from last weekend. I don't know. I may never recover. I mean, I was flying back home, having all that downtime, just looking at all the photos, all the videos. Like, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe I met you all. I can't believe we saw the dubs that we saw. Like, I'm just, like, in disarray, honestly. I can't. I still can't get over Mason Lorai absolutely making a fool of Morgan Riley. Like, everything about it was just such a blur. You know, and I made a post, spilled my heart out 1 o'clock in the morning, the other Monday night, Tuesday, whenever it was. And, like, I'm telling you, I've had some really cool, I've been lucky. I've never won a lottery, but I've lived some phenomenal shit, you know. I've sat at the bar and had a lot of people be like, that didn't happen. You didn't meet that person. Oh, the cancer batch just pulled you up on stage one night and you just screamed Manoia Hawk with them and killed it. I'm like, yeah, here's a video of it. Like, check it out. Or, you know, people in Winnipeg, like, be like, oh, the Rippers are sick. I'm like, yeah, I'm tight with them. I'm like, I've been lucky to open up for them. I've actually shared the stage with them a few times. And they're like, what? And, like, you know, you show them clips of you playing Brothers in front of, you know, 1,000 people. And it's just, like, moments where you just kind of step aside and you're like, that was fucking crazy. You know, like, I'm speechless, right? And I'm not going to lie, like, leading up into this trip, I don't know, miserable is definitely the appropriate term, but maybe burnt out, maybe, you know, miserable. I was definitely miserable. I mean, I was Nikki Six, you know, pre-doctor feel good. I was burnt out and dead. And Boston, you kickstarted my heart. We'll say that. Huh? How about that? Shout out to everybody that is watching The Dirt at some point this weekend. Killer movie. Good time film, baby. Howie knows what's up. I do want to double down on a few things because we did record on Monday, but I was so like burnt out from traveling and still trying to wrap my head around everything that happened. I just want to give a massive shout out to Catherine, who picked me up from the airport, drove me to the airport. I mean, took me in and out of Boston, gave me a place to stay, like, absolute rock star. And the entire time, I was like, I don't know how I'll ever be able to repay them. I don't seem like they're kind of, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just was like, everything they're doing is just, like, rock star. And earlier today, they messaged me how they, because we went to the practice on Friday. Obviously, we talked about how, you know, Linus didn't look happy. We were kind of nervous about that. We found out about the Knicks trade, and they're a big Linus fan, and they met Linus today, and he wasn't the absolute best. And it's everything you want to hear from someone when they get to meet, you know, one of their favorite hockey players. And it's just like such a testament to how much this fan base loves him, how much he loves us. And everything he said to them was just like, just warmed my heart up. I mean, my heart's already full. And to hear about their interaction, my heart just, like, exploded. Like, I was so happy for them. So happy for Allmark. I'm so glad they didn't trade him. And let's dive into that. Because, I mean, I got some, a few days of working and stuff. Getting back in the mix of life. I mean, the messed up part about Allmark is that when we signed him, it was always with the mindset of, like, he's a great goaltender. We're getting him at a steal of a deal. And what we're going to do is we're going to use him while Swayman becomes a starter. While he gets his few years in the NHL, and when Swayman's ready to take over the net, we'll trade Allmark and get something for him and give him a chance to be a starter again somewhere else. Well, we're at that point where Swayman is a starter. But what we didn't expect when we signed Allmark to that contract in the summer of 2021 was that we didn't expect the fan base to fall in love with him the way we have.
we didn't expect him to fall in love with us the way he has and his family has. And we sure as hell did not expect him and Swayman to have this bond that is unbreakable. I mean, it's crazy. And after last year, after seeing Bergeron and Krejci both go out, you know, essentially on top, it's hard not to think that they got together and thought, hey, man, that could be us. We can be the goaltender version of that. Right? And I personally would like to see it. I know they've talked about, you know, sticking together. They've talked about taking discounts to make that happen. And, like, to hear anyone say that is, like, insane. Like, the fact that they've even suggested it is, like, absolutely mind-numbing, right? Because they both can go, look how much money, Howie mentioned, look how much money Bobrovsky's getting paid. Look how much money Hellebuck's getting paid. I mean, these guys can go and make almost double what they're being paid and never have to work another day in their lives after the contract's done. So, it's not something they should be taken lightly. I understand where Don's coming from. I don't like it. But Vegas has completely changed the dynamic and the climate of GMs in the NHL. See, Vegas has been reckless and ruthless to players since day one. Yet they're still a destination team, and they've won, right? They won the Cup, and that was my biggest fear when they won last year, that you'd see a lot of GMs, a lot of ownership groups get very, very heartless with their players, per se. My issue is that Vegas is heartless with everybody on the roster. Like, no one's safe. Anybody can get moved out at any time. Don, as much as he wants to play that game, there are certain dudes on his team. I know Gretzky got traded, but there are certain dudes on his team that just aren't getting traded. You know what I mean? So, why Ullmark, after winning a Vezina and backstopping us to 65 wins, doesn't get that treatment is beyond me. If you are going to trade Ullmark or Swayman, it better be for a package that helps us win multiple Stanley Cups. And to be honest with you, I don't see that package out there. I really don't. Not with the cap space that every team has to play with. You just don't get that package back. Not for an elite goaltender like that. So I'm happy that he stuck around. And I know they haven't had the success yet in the playoffs that maybe they've been hoping to have, but these things take time. I mean, look at before 2011. I mean, you had the Bruins show up. They lost to the Canadiens after coming back down 3-1. They swept the Canadiens, lost a heartbreaker to Carolina in the second round, beat Buffalo the next year, lost a heartbreaker to Philly in the next round before they went all the way. Like, these things take time. I don't know if Don and Cam forgot that. My biggest fear is that maybe they don't want it. Maybe they don't believe in a tandem in the postseason. That's my biggest fear. Because if there's one thing that we want to see this year, it's the tandem in the playoffs. You know, maybe that's why they tried to shop Ullmark the way they did. Because maybe they want Swayman to just backstop the team for all 16 wins. But obviously it didn't work out. And hopefully goalie Bob and Montgomery have different plans this postseason. And those plans include using the tandem. And with that being said, in the postseason, another thing I wanted to jump on that kind of got lost in the mix on Monday. I mean, just seeing Howie's beautiful face, I couldn't concentrate. Seeing Boosie's luscious face after just seeing it the day before, I could not concentrate. So a little bit concentrated now. Is that? I mean, I've had a few different people already come up to me on a beach. I've read a few different articles. Heard on a few different podcasts that the Bruins' deadline was disappointing, it was lackluster, I've heard one person even say to me that it was an utter complete failure, and I disagree. I think Don Sweeney's deadline was one of the better ones, and if not the most successful, because Don had the opportunity that not a lot of GMs have around this time of year, and that's the opportunity to not do anything, to not make any trades, to not have to make a blockbuster, and that's exactly what he did. Why would he go out and trade for a streaky goal scorer who lights it up in the postseason when he has Jake DeBrusk on the team? You know, why would you go out and trade the house for Noah Hanifin when you have Lindholm getting continuously healthy every day? I mean, he looked phenomenal on practice on Friday, and he looked lights out against Pittsburgh. So now you just maintain that until you get to the playoffs. I mean, Not to mention you have Lauri, who I've said in the last podcast is the Tyler Seguin of defensemen back there. The kid's lights out good. And you've got the two best goaltenders in the league. So he had the ability not to have to make moves just for the sake of making a move. And the moves he did make were phenomenal. And honestly, they make GM... Those are the kind of moves that make you a destination for a player. Because them moving out Jacob Zboril and Luke Toporoski, I mean, that's Don saying, hey, you don't have a place in the system, unfortunately. We've tried. You just don't fit. We don't have room for you, but I'm going to send you to a place where you're going to play. And you're going to have a better chance of having an NHL career. So it sucks, but what he did was ultimately the right move, in my opinion. Ultimately the right move. And to get a guy like Andrew Peck and Pat Maroon back, I mean, especially Peck, who has term, I know not getting any retention on the salary kind of stings, but once that salary cap goes up, once that salary cap goes up, we'll be laughing about it. So don't believe in the hype. Don't believe in the easy headlines that people are disappointed. I think this, because another thing you got to keep in mind too, they still have next year's first round pick. We didn't use that. You still have Fabian Lassell, Mason Lauri, Johnny Beecher, Mikuliov, not to mention a dozen others, great players on the Providence team. We still have all those guys in the system, so it wasn't a failure. Don't believe in that hype. We have a few AMAs before we move on. Didn't have a few, but we had Greg, who our boy Greg, who I met, actually met me at the airport with Shan and Catherine, which was just unbelievable. Like, just floored. I still can't get over the trip. Oh, my God. Greg asked, when you coming back, we miss you. My guy, my people, I fucking miss you to infinity and beyond more than anything. Like, I all I can think about at work, I've just been constantly pulling up photos of the trip and just, like, tearing up because it was just, fuck, I don't know. Maybe my heart was broken. I don't know. Maybe that shit was fucking splintered and shattered and y'all fucking put me back together. Pick me up piece by piece, baby. We got our guy Trigger. Fuck Trigger, I miss you, dude. You're a fucking solid motherfucker. They ask what my favorite Misfits jam is. And trust me, Misfits are one of my favorite bands. Have been since I was a kid. I mean, if you like music, man, you probably love the Misfits. Anyways, for me, easy money. Gotta be Devil Lock. This song always gets me going, baby. I've brushed my teeth so many times to this song, dog. Little Devil Lock for you. Thanks for the questions. I gotta send that shit out earlier. Give y'all like a day's heads up. I always send it to you like 2 hours before I record. Now, I miss you all. I cannot wait to get back. We're gonna get back to Boston. And I can't wait to do it with Howie this time. And speaking of Howie, and speaking of Boosie, I'm shooting it back off to the boys. As I've said, I may live on the beach, but Boston, you're my home. Thank you for the absolute time of my fucking life. My heart is always yours. You've been great. I've been Bobby. Let's go Bees, baby. Also, shout out to Dave, man. The best stuntman in the business.
And we are back from another phenomenal Bobby's Corner. Fucking threw me off because we're not used to these short epis. I mean, like, legit right now, where our recording is like 35 minutes long right now. We usually shoot over at like the 40, 45 minute mark. And you know us, our episodes usually go about hour and a half, 2 hours, but obviously short week for the fellas. But I don't even remember what we were talking about before Bobby's Corner. I'm enjoying life right now, man. I'm getting fucking geared up, horned up for playoff hockey. You know what? While we are on the playoff talk, how are we feeling about a goalie rotation or ride the hot man?
Dude, did you hear fucking... I'm going to pick this up. Did you hear fucking Monty? He was like... He was like, yeah, we'll see what we do in the playoffs. We're looking to give three guys game or guy three games here and then another guy three games there. I'm like, what? That's a little late for that, dude.
Long bear. That doesn't make any, like, why?
And it's so a little late for that, brother.
You give Swayman three games and then you just, no way, no. Like,
yeah, I would dude, he that. Said it. He said it the other day.
That's a fireable offense. Like, what that. I didn't see that. I didn't see that or hear that, but like that's bananas to even think about. Cause why would you do that? I mean, I can understand maybe two games, but cause I've always been like ride the hot goaltender. Yeah, I can understand maybe like two games, but and I've always been a guy that like ride the hot goaltender. Obviously, it didn't really work last year. And then you bring in a cold Swayman, which you obviously want to try to avoid. I don't know though, but like right now, Swayman's game one for me. Maybe even game two. Got to see how he plays. But right now, it's Swayman for me. I mean, for fuck's sake, right? Like if the season ends today, you have the Toronto Fraudulent Leafs, and Swayman's been great against them this season. You stick it to him. You give him a little good old gentleman sweep. And you move on to the next round and you rest up and you get ready and you get healthy. But knock on wood, that fucking happens. But I don't know. I'm not for that. I would legitimately be pissed. And I don't get mad at Monty too often. Obviously, I didn't get mad at Monty like at all last year, I feel like, till the playoffs maybe. But this year he's had a few questionable decisions. And I think that's maybe because he doesn't have as much leadership in the room as he had last year. I mean, you got Bergeron and Krejci. So I don't know. That would piss me off.
He let the inmates run the asylum way too much last year. And now he's overcorrecting. And I think he got away from that recently, which is nice because we're like seeing him, you know, coach an even keel team, the team's playing better in front of him, you know, all that stuff. But the problem I'm having is if they fucking ride Swayman until game seven and then play Ullmark in game seven, I'm gonna fucking lose it. I want Monty fired if that happens, and goalie Bob fired.
Yeah, that's
because you can't do that.
The three games at that point, and then And then Ullmark would play the fourth, and by that time, that would be, what, a week off, basically, a little over a week off since the end of the regular season. So, like, that would be concerning because you don't want to play a cold goaltender. I mean, you want to ride the hot goaltender, but you also want to give them proper rest. And say what you want about rotations and riding the hot goaltender, but there's not a lot of goalies out there that can just play like Vasilevskiy anymore, like – they're going to need their, like, I mean, even what Florida did to us last year between going from Lyon to, holy shit, what's their, I was about to say Brzgalov. Who's the frigging goalie over there for Florida?
Bobrovsky, Bob Titty.
Yeah. Mike Bobrovsky. But yeah, that's,
I need Marty to send, he's fucking listening to this pod right now on Friday. I need him to send his fucking picks. Jesus Christ.
Marty, send your fucking, he just messaged the Slack saying, oh, he's good. He's chilling, whatever.
Yeah, he hasn't sent me his fucking picks yet.
I'll message Slack right now. God damn it.
Jesus Christ. Sorry. People are like, what are they talking about?
I know. Shout out Primetime.
Parlay.
Yeah. Marty, send your picks. Okay, there it is. But yeah, I don't want to ruin the end of this episode for folks out there. But
yeah, sorry guys.
You guys, I want you guys to actually, you know, I'll put out a little. He sent them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good.
He just did.
As now you said just that. Made me look like an idiot.
No, asshole. Right after you said that.
But I'm going to put, you know, maybe over the weekend, I'll put a little poll out if you want the good old rotation or ride the hawk goaltender, see how people feel. I'm sure a lot of people's tunes have changed. Tunes have changed on that. Holy shit.
You're good.
Jesus, thank God this isn't a long epi. I'm struggling to speak right now. The Heineken Silvers are numbing the tongue. There it is. I said it correctly because I forget what I said exactly last time when Danny Sway Daddy was on. But we're heating up, baby. We're heating up. We are getting toward closer and closer to the end of the season. I couldn't even tell you how many games we have left, but we got to be in the we're in the teens. We are in the teens. As you're listening, bright and early Friday morning, the Bruins have 14 games left.
15 games?
14. 15 including tonight, but 14 after tonight. So so 14 games left coming down the home stretch. They got a Toronto has 3 games in hand. They're 9 points behind. I'm not going to say anything about the standings right now because I don't want to jinx anything, but we shall see how it plays out. But I don't care really. Like, obviously, I want them to win games, but if they're going to lose games, I don't want it to be ugly. I don't want it to be. Like, my biggest concern going into the playoffs, other than the whole goalie thing, would be the ability to close out games. I mean, that's been the thing all regular season long. You got to close out games. You got to figure that out. You got to be better in your own end. And a lot of that can change with Forbert being gone, basically. He's done for the season, which it sucks for him. And you hope that he finds a home next season and gets paid, but I don't see that with the Bruins. And I think you got a good guy in Wotherspoon that can plug in for him. Lauri's going to make mistakes if he gets into the lineup, but I think you'll probably see like a good internal battle between Grizzlick and Lauri, and then Peak and Shattenkirk. I would love Shattenkirk in the game one lineup just because the experience and what he brings offensively. Peak doesn't bring anything offensively, really. He's just kind of a stay-at-home guy, like a good old McQuaid style, and just kind of block shots, hits people, and, you know, that's fine. Just as long as he doesn't let guys lollygag in front of our own net, that's fine with me. You don't have to get a goal every night, every other night, whatever. You could go pointless for the whole playoff run that you're on, but just don't fuck around, basically. Don't let them lollygag, like I like to say, in front of our own net. But
yeah. No, I agree with you, dude. And it's like, I think that's, like, funny enough, I think that's what Peak's gonna bring to the lineup. I have this feeling like he's a playoff player, you know what I mean? Like, this guy's gonna be a dog for us.
I just have this feeling that it's just gonna work out with him. And that's probably me being completely biased, but I just have this feeling. Like,
with another year in this system, I think it's really going to work out.
Yeah. And yeah, he'll get coached up, and you'll have to kind of how it goes with him, I guess. Like, yeah. I think he's able to get coached up, but we'll have to see, really. Time will tell with that, but I have a good feeling about this. Mm-hmm. I have a good feeling. So we'll see. I'm really excited to see him and Wotherspoon tonight, though. I really am excited about that.
No, I agree. I agree, dude. I think they're gonna be dogs together. I'm really excited to see what they can bring to the table, especially with them as a third pairing. You're gonna see them in sheltered minutes against the Montreal Canadiens, who don't have a great team, have a really young team. I just think that this is, I really do believe that this is going to work out in the end.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm trying to do math in my head. I think it's really going to work out in the end. I think it's going to be great for the Bruins. That's what I was going to say. Columbus has been fucking pushing this guy down the lineup, not because he shouldn't be playing in the NHL, but because they have younger players that they have to essentially play at this point in the season. So
yeah,
you know, like, it is what it is. But I really do think that Peak's gonna have a good game tonight. I think he's Carlo Light from everything that I've understood.
And it's a good, it's, yeah, Carlo, like, with that's a, that plays a little bit heavier, and that's that has
a little more dog in him.
Yeah, a little bit more dog, a little bit more grit in his game. But time will tell. I think
stud. I just put five people's bets together and did all of the fucking records for the night. Let's go, baby. We're so fucking back.
Fucking rights, boys. But I mean, that just about wraps it up for this episode, anyways. That's my biggest takeaway for tonight's game, last night's game, as you're listening, like we said, bright and early Friday morning into your commute to the job that you love. And if you're not listening to us, you're probably blasting Nickelback. We understand, but
hell yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it. If he has a tough game, I'm not going to like push the panic button at all. I wouldn't be surprised, but I do have a good feeling about this. So we'll see how it plays out. I'm very much looking forward to it. But with that being said, I think that just about wraps it up for episode 75, I think. 75, the little Connor Clifton edition. Do we have a 75 on the team right now? We don't, right?
No. No. I do like that Peak took Crowley's number. I know people are crying about it, but I think that's a good nod to – especially if he sticks around after this year. I think that's a good next year. I think it's a really nice nod to Corrali.
Yeah, no, I like that. He's just gonna wear proud, baby.
Because play like a dog. He better Corrali jump if he scores. Shout out Mia, anytime goal scorer plus 1300. Holy shit.
Yeah, what a go for that. Yeah. I love that though. Love that. The confidence is all time high. Confidence is all time high, so you gotta respect that.
I took Beecher anytime goal scorer plus 650.
Beecher anytime goal scorer,
yeah.
That's kind of, I feel like that's kind of low, but I do like that. I do,
especially with him come back up. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. So time will tell with that. But ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up. I do think Beecher will have a great game, by the way, though.
I know we didn't really talk about it, but it's because we just love Beecher. You know what I mean? Like, we expect him to play well tonight.
Yeah. No, he reminds me of a little – he's got a little Corrali in this game. Maybe not as fast, but I love watching him play, man. He's so fun to watch, and he just plays hard, and he plays the right way. So hopefully we get a Beecher Gino tonight. Hopefully we get a Peak Gino tonight so Mia can make some – cashola and get herself to some playoff games. But that wraps it up for episode 75 of Only Bruins. We love you, Bobby. Phenomenal corner. Brett, I love you, buddy. Fun time. I'll be tuning in to the PTP bets and
the only 7 day a week show. Only 7 day a week gambling soon,
moon. I love
merch coming that. Soon. Merch coming soon.
Oh hell yeah. Hell yeah. So be on the lookout for that. We'll obviously
We're doing a fucking primetime preview on Saturday. Shit, yes. Jesus Christ. On Saturday, come hang out with the Holy Trinity. It'll be I'm hosting. I'm letting Boosie sit back for a little bit here, but I'm gonna host. Boosie will be there. Bobby's gonna be there. We're doing our first ever took you fucking long enough. Only Bruins primetime preview. So come fucking hang out with the fellas. We will be here. Don't even be square. Come circle, baby. I love it.
Fucking rights, baby. Very much looking forward to that. Glad you remembered to mention that because I totally freaking forgot. And yes, it's going to be a lot of fun. Bobby's the fucking man, so you definitely don't want to miss that. But
it's going to get after hours real quick.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter at OnlyBruinsPod for updates on that. Stay up to date with the show, really. You'll see all our Twitter handles in the show description along with the Pure Hockey link. Go buy stuff at Pure Hockey because they get the best stuff around. Ladies and gentlemen, that'll wrap it up for episode 75. We love you guys. Stay cool. Peace. Oh, Bruins, bitch.